Coach Mikey. What's up, man?
What up, man?
Dude, so where are you at right now?
Home in my kitchen, looking outside.
San Jose, California?
San Jose, California, Bay Area.
So right now, you guys, what is your work situation? Are you officially still at work?
Yeah, we're just doing it. It's called, you know, just distance learning. Our district came up with an acronym, roles, assignments, required online learning experience.
And now when you put an acronym, I thought they only liked acronyms in Philippines. They like it there too.
Oh, they love it.
So
the first 3 weeks, it was FLOWS, flexible learning option.
Now, so this, go ahead.
We put out assignments, but it was optional. You didn't have to do it.
So flows are optional, but roles are required?
Yeah, they did that after we came back from spring break.
So before spring break, you thought there was a chance that you guys would go back to school?
No, I mean, just following all the news and everything, we had an idea that we were no longer going to come back. And this was going to be the thing we're going to do for the rest of the school year.
So, I mean, for those of the people who are listening and don't know, like, you are a teacher in the Palo Alto School District, middle school, right?
Correct.
How many years you been working, Mikey?
20 plus, I 20 or 21, one of those things, man. I can't even.
Good Lord, I stopped counting. Man. Dude, I'm looking at pictures. I'm here in Philippines. I'm, you know, by myself. So, you know, I'm just going through old pictures and things like that. You know, just doing stuff. And I'm like, damn, dude. You know, I got old quick in the last 10 years.
Oh man, time flies. I always am reminded just when, you know, listening to podcasts and interviews that athletes are having and say, yeah, in 2010 or 2005, it's like, wow, it doesn't seem that long ago, but I mean, that's 10 to 15 years.
It is, man. And we're going to get to that. But I mean, let me ask you this. So you've, as a teacher, right? And your field is in, like, what do you call it? Phys ed? What do they call it, Mike?
Yeah, they call it physical education.
Okay. So phys ed, like, I mean, and you're online. So, I mean, I'm a jiu-jitsu coach, and I'm trying to figure out how to keep, like, my business going. But what does that look like doing phys ed online?
So they wanted everyone to be aligned within all the secondary schools, right? So with each school, everyone has their way of doing things. And with PE, it's difficult because you're doing different units based on availability, right? In terms of field space. And so,
Sorry, man. Go ahead.
We're constantly just trying to find ways to use the space that we have. But now that we're distance learning, we're just having the kids do fitness logs where 4 days out of the week they do a workout. 2 days we ask for it to be aerobic, 1 day of muscle strength and endurance, and then 1 day of flexibility. You know, the kids can do whatever they want. We have posted videos on YouTube, and I really found this really cool website that has different workouts for different levels, but also just different focuses. I mean, I love it. I'm going to definitely try to implement it next year if we do go back, but I'm using it right now. Every morning I do about 15 to 20 minutes of yoga poses. And nice. It's awesome, but I really miss my classes and my students, and you know, they encourage us to try to check in with the kids with, like, right, Zoom meetings and everything like that. But I've just heard some bad stories about Zoom meetings, and Oh, just like kids, bombing the meeting or just
doing different
stuff. And I mean, for me, I'm trying to think of how I could really help the kids with the Zoom meetings, because we're just doing workouts, right? I mean, I could do a video of me working out, but it's tough. It is really
tough. I mean, I think that, you know, for us at gym at BC Marshall, like I was thinking about this today, you know, you go through these like stages, right, where you start off and you're like, well, I don't know how long this is going to last. So let me just like, okay, I'm posting like funny stuff, you know, I'm, you know, promoting the business, things like that. And then after a while, you're like, well, the reason we're all in this thing is the connection and the relationships, right? So, well, now, I mean, you know, kids don't come to class. So now what are we going to do? So now I've been starting to change my focus more on, let me see how I can get in contact with these guys. And then not even stuff related to jiu-jitsu. It's like, you know, hey, man, how you guys doing? Because, you know me, like when we're in class, like most of my connection with these guys is like fooling around with them, asking them about their school and like, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, that's, you know, a lot of the reason why they come. I mean, just because there's connection, it's fun. And so, you know, for me to post, a bunch of exercises that they can do, or like, hey, let's have a class and do, I mean, that's helpful. Don't get me wrong. I mean, physical and things like that. But that's actually not the main reason why they enjoy coming to class. You know, they come for the community. So I feel like along with still doing the physical stuff, you know, I got to start figuring out a way how to reconnect with these guys and their families, as opposed to, you know, just putting like physical content out there, you know, and, you know, you gotta be creative. So I'm trying to come up with stuff right now, but I mean that, you know, that's a work side. What are you doing? I mean, what's home life like during this time? I mean, is there a lot of, basically, what are you watching these days? Are you Netflix and YouTube? I mean,
a little bit, but you know, it's so interesting. I just go through these phases. So I was watching, this, show of Power on Star.
I've never watched that.
I was watching that.
Is that 50 Cent?
50 Cent. 50 Cent is an executive producer. And just watching that, and I just stopped, right?
too much?
No, not too much. I was just like, I don't know. I just like, I'm good, right? There's still, I'll be starting the third season, I believe, or fourth season. So at some point, I'll get back into that. But yeah, just random stuff. You know, now that this Last Dance has come up, I'm excited about that, and just been anticipating that. But you know, just movies here and there, but nothing where I'm set to watching it. You know, Sarah, she just finished. She binged Schitt's Creek.
Is that good?
She likes it. You know?
Now is that an Amazon? What is that?
That's on Netflix, and it was. A Canadian, you know, it was based, not based, but from Eugene Levy, who's Canadian. And his son created the show. And I mean, she was watching probably 5 to 7 episodes a day or night, just because they're only 20 minutes. They're only 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're super short. So,
hey, man, so when you're a kid, and we were home summers, you know, our parents worked, right? Did you watch TV all day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what I mean, I grew up doing that, like, in the summer times, right?
Well, and, you know, funny, John, I told a friend of mine or some people, my spring break felt like I was a kid again, because I couldn't drive, so I couldn't go anywhere. So all I did was just stay at home.
Why couldn't you drive? Oh, just because you couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, of the, anywhere, right? Yeah. So it's like, oh, I'm just going to be stuck at home. You know, probably my worst spring break since I've been working.
Well, usually you're golfing all day.
Golfing all day or doing something, going on vacation.
Hey, why can't people golf? Isn't that social distancing?
I don't know. I think
I mean, like, can't you be like you can be meters away from people when you're golfing, right?
Oh, yeah. I think they were much more concerned about the golf carts.
Oh, right.
Right. And just the fact that when you pick up the ball out of the hole, you're contaminating it.
Sanitize that piece. Put the spray on the side. Put the spray on the side. Dude, you're losing money. Golf places. You gotta be innovative. And people, don't you think people would hella want to golf? Like, if those of you guys who golf, right?
I texted my buddy yesterday. Hey, Mike, what's up, man? Dude, this is driving me crazy. I'm just at home practicing. He goes, hey, my buddy sneaked onto so and so course.
Sneak
and
on.
And I was like, dang.
I just go to jail, bro. That's how much you love golf. You go to jail. Dude, people go to jail out here for playing volleyball.
That is too funny. There's
old people playing volleyball on the street. People, cops came like, what the hell are you guys doing? You go to jail. I'm like, dude, how silly is that, man? No, I mean, silly. Why would you play volleyball, you know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, people, they don't be listening. But the thing is, no, but when I think about golf, see, I'm innovating right here. I'm spitballing, but this might be something, right? So let's say you go only walking, right? No carts.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So you just social distance yourself, right? You know, you're whatever. I mean, you know, you're only touching your own stuff with the cup and the, what's it called? The flag, right?
Yeah.
You know, wipes, spray. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Right. You're doing that when you go grocery anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, you gotta do it.
The grocery is crazy too.
Attend the flag. Yeah. That's what it means, bro.
Dude, the grocery thing is a crazy thing too, man. I mean, I've never spent so much time at the grocery store. Just, you know, and at the same time, you're just like dodging and weaving people. I mean, no one's following the 6 feet rule.
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, what about what's this called? Do you wear masks?
I do.
Good. Yeah, that's good.
It's tough though when I'm running and biking, just to get used to that. I need to invest in.
Well, are you supposed to run and bike with a mask?
Well, that's what the chef says. So, you know, I can't go outside until she says, oh, yeah, you have to wear your mask. So I just wear it.
Chef, I thought she was the boss. She's boss and chef.
She's got many titles.
Well, you said the chef. I thought Ron was telling you what to do. I was like, damn, there's a lot of guys telling you what to do.
Damn, Ron.
So, yeah, man. I mean, it's just a crazy time, and you know. But I was just, I'm watching a lot I went through a phase where I was watching a lot of stuff. Now, like, mostly during the daytime, I'm watching stuff related to work, related to like trying to get better at like certain things, you know.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, tutorials, stuff like that. And then in the evenings, that's when I'll watch. Like, I think I'm watching like Money Heist right now, you know.
What is Money Heist?
Money Heist is a Spanish show.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty big right now, I guess. It's on Netflix. You know, you can watch it dubbed. Right, but I watch it in Spanish and just watch the Mikey, the
SAP?
Subtitles,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Subtitles, yeah. So like, you know, because I like hearing the, and it's funny because it's like Spanish, you know, from Spain, right?
Oh, okay.
So they'd be saying like the police,
the
TH and stuff right. like that, right? So it's, you know, not California Spanish, right?
Yeah.
But so it's cool. It's a pretty good show. But, you know, sometimes you binge these shows that, like, have been out for a while, right?
Yeah.
So there's too many of the episodes.
Right.
And you get stuck and you're like, damn, I need to get out of this world. Like, you get tired of it,
I can't sit in a room for more than 2 hours. Dude, I'm struggling with all these Zoom meetings. And
so you have a lot of Zoom meetings?
I have one at least once a day. I mean, now don't get me wrong. I'm not as heavy as some other teachers, but you know,
real teachers?
Yeah. Just kidding. I self-diagnose myself as ADHD or whatever they call it. So it's just like, I can't sit around. I mean, sometimes at these meetings, right, with these Zoom meetings, I'm trying to do other things just because I can't sit.
Yeah, I think it's such a – well, one thing that's cool, right? So we're doing this podcast from I'm in Philippines. You're in, you know, San Jose in California. And I've been doing a lot of them lately because it's easier now. And then I have time and things like that. And I would never learned about this technology and getting better at some of these things unless I had this time. So, you know, but it's so these Zoom calls and these different things, they're going to, I mean, you know, we could have been doing this all along, right? Like we got on a call the other day with like, you know, five of our high school friends. And right. It was great, right, man.
Right, right.
But, you know, we could have been doing this for years.
Yeah. I don't know how long it's been but I mean, shoot, last week we did a like two game nights. One was Name That Tune, and then the other one was Bingo.
I don't know if I'm ready for that one.
Oh, dude, I was thinking about you during Name That Tune. I was like, dude, John Jay would have killed this.
Yeah, right.
Would have killed it. Yeah, it was 80s pop music, and I think a little bit of 90s. I was like, dude, John would have killed this.
What about so people be doing the Zoom happy hour? What do you think about that? Have you done one of those? Like,
I mean,
what is that? You just stand in front of your screen and drink?
No, I mean, the only one I did was with us, with the fellas. But I mean, you know, it's just odd. You're just like drinking by yourself.
Yeah, you know, so that's funny when I hear that. But I mean, this is like a new thing. I mean, people are having the drive-by birthday greeting and all that kind of stuff. It's funny, man. But I think, like, I'm trying to, you know, we talk about, you know, Buhay Antwell podcast, the Antwell values, you know. But one of those is, you know, pursuing growth. And so for me, man, I am trying to take this time. You know, I have a situation where, you know, I'm not with my family. I'm by myself, man. Dude, I don't even have a protocol for all these, like, sanitizing because I'm just by myself.
Right.
Shoot, I gotta wash my sheets, man. I don't remember the last time I did that since I got here, you know. But I mean, just like, you know, I don't, you know, wipe this, wipe that. I mean, I'm just by myself, you know. I go out by myself, come back, you know. So, but I mean, I am trying to get better at different things. And so I'm trying to specifically like watch things that, you know, are gonna get me better at the things I wanna do, you know, organizing, things like that. And that side's going well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm lonely without the family.
Oh,
you know, I mean, this is cool to be able to do this, but, you know, it's tough to just see the boys and Marsha just on the screen for like a few minutes a day, you know. But the other side is I'm getting stuff done. But the even other side of that one is sometimes I feel like you get stuff done and you accomplish certain things, but yet, man, what's the point if you're in with your family if that's, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
so,
right,
I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, I guess that's one of those things I go up and down with in my head, you know, during these kind of times. But you mentioned earlier, one thing I wanted to talk about was, you know, you mentioned earlier we were talking about things we were watching and how The Last Dance is out now. The first two episodes,
right.
You know, the Bulls was in 98 team,
yeah.
Right, Mikey?
Yeah.
And did you watch people super excited about this thing. Did you watch the first two episodes already?
I did. I have it recorded or scheduled recording for the entire series.
So I'm gonna take this back. You, last time on our first podcast, we talked about. I asked you if you remembered. You know, you what was this that you wanted to be a sportscaster in fifth grade, right? So in fifth grade, I think what were we like 85, 86, right?
Yes, 85.
And I had never heard, the only thing I knew about basketball was the Lakers. You know, I didn't watch a lot of, you know, what is it called, college or anything like that. I really didn't know Michael Jordan. And I remember in 85, 86, it's funny. See, I got this crazy memory, right? You remember we was in groups, right? In class, right? You put your mm-hmm. table and you got a name tag.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, you know, I always got separated on an island by myself for, you know, talking too much.
Me and Esteban.
Yeah, me and Esteban. Esteban was another island. I was another. I think he was for like fighting. That was for talking. I don't know. But so I remember like you had on your name tag, right? You had sometimes we put stickers on them, right?
Right.
And somebody had given us a bunch of stickers with like you know, those either comic book like thought bubbles or like word bubbles, you know, right? Yeah. And you write something in there, right? And I remember you had one and you wrote Air Jordan on it. It was in fifth grade,
damn,
right? Yeah, bro. I remember because that's the first time I ever heard of Air Jordan. And I was like, Air Jordan? What the hell is Air Jordan, right?
Yeah.
And then I saw the shoes and I thought you was talking about the shoes. But you remember when they called Mike? I mean, Air Jordans now are the shoes, but back then he was called Air. He was called Air Jordan.
Right.
You know? And what was your, were you in fifth grade, were you a Jordan fan? Like, were you a fan of Michael Jordan?
You know, that's a good question. I probably was just because, you know, he was already becoming popular. That was his rookie year.
Mm-hmm.
Because he, you know, hit the shot in 82 and he came out his junior year. So that was his first year. And, you know, my appetite for sports was just, I just loved it. Right.
Yeah. You was going to be a sportscaster.
Yeah. Well, it was just like that whole period for our area, you know, the Lakers, the Dodgers, just, you know, sports in general was huge. And that was like a big time. And yeah, I would say I love Jordan and just for him to come in and do what he was doing. And to see this past Sunday, because they were they're setting up for later episodes of who he is, right? So right now we're learning about who he is and where he came from. And I still just remember him as a rookie and just, you know, the just chain. Doing crazy things. Yeah, just doing crazy things.
Well, they were showing, you know, you forget, you know, sometimes because a lot of the stuff they show is also the older Michael Jordan, like just on like YouTube and stuff like that. But man, the hang time he used to do, all those moves when he was young.
Yeah.
I mean, just ridiculous, and people would try those things of double clutches. And I mean, he was a player that our generation, you and I, and we had never seen anything like that before.
Right.
You know, we came in where a guard gives the ball to the big man. You know, a guard can score, but I mean, you ain't going to win with a guard just scoring. Like, you ain't win no chance. Like, you need the big man, right?
Exactly.
And I remember as a fan being threatened by Michael Jordan because now they're talking about Mike and they ain't talking about Magic.
Yeah.
That was my, like, immaturity as a, I mean, not to say that I was never growing up a huge Jordan fan, because to me it threatened. It's like you're a kid, you think I can only like one guy, I can only like one team, and maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but in my mind I was like, how can I think of ways that Michael isn't great because I want to think Magic's the best?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And
but at this, yeah, go ahead.
It was just, and I think for me, after that 91 series was when this is the end.
It's the end, yeah. Yeah.
Because one, it's like he figured out, he unlocked everything, and you just knew that they were going to continue to win just because Magic 91, that's his 12th year in the league, still kind of young, but he, you could just tell.
We had no more Kareem.
Yeah, right. And it was a bunch of young guys. I mean, Vlade was still young, and you know, B. Scott was I mean, he was just overmatched.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Mike. I mean, there's so many things as Laker fans. I mean, when you look back on it, you know, Magic brought us there to that 91. But you have, who was our coach? What was it?
Dunleavy.
I mean, Dunleavy, Vladdy, Eldon Camp. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
Sam,
you know,
Perkins.
Perkins was a great pickup for us. But I mean, like, I just remember, like you said, growing up, I thought Larry Bird was bulletproof, you know?
Yeah.
Where, because we played him all the time, or it seemed like it anyways. And it's like every time the ball left Larry Bird's hands, I was like, that thing's going in.
Exactly.
You know, you're talking about like shooting mid-range, all these things. And, you know, I didn't value him as much as I do now as a passer, you know? But, like, I just always feared him anytime the ball left his hands. When Mike, that fear for me transferred to Mike as the years went on. Where, like, if he goes up, he's making it. Like, he's doing some crazy flip, double clutch, and, like, spin. Like, because, and he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he, you know, he, you believed in him, man. I mean, and that became, you know, I felt like Magic was the guy that I thought he'll find any way to win. But Mike was the guy where it was like, yo, he can't miss.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, just, I'm not saying that was true. Obviously, that's not true. But just the perception as a kid where guys like a Larry Bird or a Michael Jordan could just demoralize you. You know, I felt that way about Isaiah for one game. You know, just that one game when when he hurt the ankle, and like he definitely demoralized me on that one. You know, in the finals. But I mean, that whole thing when we lost in '89, when the Lakers lost in '89, we make it back in '91, and then we lose that, and you're like, dude, it's over,
right?
And to be honest with you, right, dude, if Mike doesn't leave, how many does he go? Do they go four in a row?
See, so
do they go five? Do they never lose?
You know, watching.
I mean, you can't.
Have you seen the? Have you seen the documentary?
I saw the first two episodes. Yeah. We don't want to get to it, but I just, you know, talking about just these thoughts. Like, I mean, perception of a kid.
Well, they
is like
they're saying
these
that,
dudes ain't gonna lose.
Yeah, but they were saying that they might have not continued just because of the mental stress and this, the whole thing. In the end, they think, you know, it might have been good that he stepped away, right? Because all this pressure, I don't even say pressure, but just all the things around them was just getting out of control. But, you know, who knows? I mean, that's one of those great what ifs. I mean,
well, you know, they always have those. I don't know if they're going to talk about this documentary, but you know how they go, like the secret suspension of Jordan,
right?
You know, the gambling and stuff like that, and you know, the whole thing with his dad. And I'm not going to speculate on that, but I'm just saying, like, you know, Phil, you know, when he coached the Lakers, and we experienced this with Pat Riley as well in the 80s, like, it's freaking tough to repeat multiple times,
mm-hmm.
because you're fighting against, like you said, this mental, sometimes this complacency, you're fighting hype, you're fighting expectation.
Yeah.
And you know, you need new blood, and you need to keep putting out those motivations, right? So I get that part, but in theory, when I look back at the prime of his career and what Jordan was able to do, you have to make that question. Like, what if he never steps away?
Right.
What if he comes back earlier instead of halfway through the season? They beat the Orlando.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you never – I'm just saying, you know. But when you watch this documentary, for me, when we watched the Bulls, it was almost like a foregone conclusion.
Yeah.
To me. But when you watch the documentary and you see all the behind the scenes during 98, you're like, dang, dude, they was up kind of up against the wall.
Oh, they were definitely on fumes. And, you know, It was definitely a struggle.
A lot of conflict. Yeah. So what was your favorite parts about this first two episodes?
I think just like seeing the like you said, the behind the scenes of the whole contract issue. I mean, just amazing. Like you understood where Scotty was coming from, because you know he said the reason why he signed that contract, that long term contract, was for stability for his, because he had a huge family, his father wasn't well. But at the same time, you just like, oh man, that sucks. I mean, he was the sixth highest paid player on his team, but in the league is 122nd.
That's crazy, man. I do agree with people. I thought he was, you know, top three, top five guy in the league for sure. But, you know, people argue top two, but, you know, playing with Jordan allowed him to be that. And he played great the year without Jordan. But isn't that also time that he didn't want to go back in the game with the migraine?
Yeah.
Kukoc, right? See, like, I always was a Pippen fan because I saw, like, you know, in the late 80s and early 90s, because you saw Jordan needed him. Because, you know, I'm the type of guy who was always like a James Worthy fan.
Right.
You know? Obviously, James is a different level. I mean, James was, you know, the number one draft pick and all those kind of things. But, you know, I like those guys who kind of get overlooked because of the superstar, but you know they're indispensable, you know? So I was a Scotty fan. I lost a little bit. And who am I to say? But just that whole migraine thing and the thing, that kind of soured me on Scotty after that. And then now that I watch this thing about the, you know, I get the – pissed at management, right? But you know the whole like what's it called, the
injury?
Don't do the ankle
injury.
And then like you kind of letting your team down,
right
you know what I'm saying? Like there's other ways, and I mean it's different now because they have more power, but in a way Mike must have been kind of pissed too.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like Kobe would be pissed at Shaq, remember when he would do that kind of stuff,
right?
You know?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was just listening to a YouTube, his last interview before his passing, and he was saying that. It's like, dude, if Shaq was as hard of a worker as I was, he says we would have won 12 championships.
Well, you know, like, so that I actually was just before we got on this, I was listening to Gary Payton on that All the Smoke, right? Mm-hmm. And he was talking about his time with Kobe and Karl Malone, and he was saying, you know, they went there, they didn't know Kobe was going to have the thing in Colorado, they didn't know Shaq was going to be feuding with Dr. Buss,
right?
See that, and he mentioned that as much as a almost like those were the factors, that the drama that they had to deal with. But Gary Payton was also talking about how he used to teach Kobe after practice about, like, you know, what he does on defense, the drills he uses. And like he was talking about Kobe, when it came to asking OGs about tips, he had no ego. You know, he was saying he didn't have an ego, but when it came to asking for help and how to get better, he didn't have an ego. And I thought that was so cool for him to say that. But what he highlighted was the whole thing of like Shaq was feuding with Dr. Buss. Remember, he was doing that F you pay me and stuff like that. And you know what I mean? So like all those things, I mean, these are behind the scenes things that now we're starting to see as far as what was going on with the Bulls. And like, I mean, we always heard things about Reinsdorf. Remember, they used to call him Crumbs, Jerry Crumbs.
No, that was Krauss. That was the GM.
Oh, that was Krauss. That's what I mean, Krauss, not Reinsdorf. Yeah. Krauss. Yeah, Crumbs.
Yeah. Well, it was funny, too. Like, if in the documentary, you know, they're going out there for warm-ups, and Krauss is standing there. And
just clown.
Hey, you want to go out there for warm-ups? We're going to have to lower the rim.
Yeah, you know,
I mean, just different stuff, like right in front of him. And then there's another one where they're about to start practice. Kraus puts a pill and goes, and Mike goes, "Hey, is that for diet? Is that your diet pill, or is that for because you're so short?" And it's just like crazy,
dude. And then they said Pip was cursing him, right?
Right.
On the bus. Exactly. Was that in the documentary? Yes. Is that something else I watched? Right? Yes. Yeah, dude, just like, I mean, that's unprofessional.
Right.
First of all. But that's where they were at. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And for them to, because we know the ending of the story, they go and win the title. But that whole thing too, I think, is so weird, where you're like saying, "Hey, Phil, even if you win 82 games, you ain't coming back."
Yeah.
That's crazy, yeah, man.
You know, YouTube interview I was listening to today, Kobe said that Phil doesn't like confrontation. So
right.
When he and Shaq were having their feud, Phil didn't like or didn't want to confront them because he didn't like confrontation. I was like, wow, that's very surprising. But, I mean, you could see it in his personality, but you would think as good of a manager he was of these egos, you would think he would sit them down and talk to them. But Kobe said that's just maybe the way he grew up. He just didn't like confrontation.
But you know who overall this last year and as all these information and things come out. I mean, we're Laker fans, so I always got to go back to the Lakers. But the guy who continues to get more respect from me is Jerry West.
Right.
I mean, this guy was a class act, you know. And that's a lot of the reason, you know, he chose to leave because of Phil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Phil, wanted to have more control, and Jerry was like, "Listen, I just want you guys to win. Cool, I'm out."
Yeah,
you know, and I, that's what I love about Jerry. He was just like wanted to win so bad, and sometimes, you know, I don't think you can give him enough credit for what the Lakers franchise became. Since Bus started owning them. I mean, Jerry West is as responsible for that as Jerry Bus and the players.
Man, oh, for sure. Know? I mean, he was able to seek out the talent. I mean, he was a great talent evaluator.
And I think, too, like, and then when you contrast, and I'm not making, though, like, Lakers versus Bulls all the time, but, like, you look at Crumbs.
Yeah.
Crumbs. But, man, what did you think about when you were during 98? I mean, I always call you stat guy, and like, you know, you have that great love for sports. What were you thinking in 98 when you were watching the Bulls team? What was your favorite thing about the Bulls in 98?
Just to the ability to, doesn't matter how, it could be ugly, it could be pretty, the bottom line was they won when it mattered most. They never got to game seven in the finals.
Well, you know, the thing when I always look back on it, and I tell you, you tell me if my perception is wrong. When I watched their games, I felt like, here's what's going to happen. If they get off offensively, they're going to blow them out. If they don't, they're just going to hang around. Halfway through the fourth, maybe a little later, they're going to throw that press on you.
Yep.
They're going to put Harp out there. They're going to put Jordan out there and Pip in them lanes. And you're just going to make mistakes. And they're going to win by five in the end. And I mean, like, that to me was like that ultimate weapon. I mean, Rodman, Harp, Kukoc, and Mike and Pip, the way they would play D, and you know, 94 feet, man, in the end of the game, it was just you saw it happen so many times. The pressure would get to these teams. I'm talking like, you know, regular season and stuff like that. You think you're having a good game against these guys and you're in there, and then they turn on that D. Pip steals the ball, Jordan steals the ball, and pretty soon you're down. Yep. You know, that was my perception, and I felt like that's something they knew they could turn on. You didn't have to be hot. If I could turn on that D, I'm going to get those easy points because, you know, I'm again, those passing lanes, this could be over for exactly. you know? And that's a beautiful, beautiful thing to watch, man, as a you know, a fan of basketball, when you know that there's a thing we can do. That, to me, that's flipping the switch. It's hard to flip the switch offensively. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have the rhythm. But these guys, they were so confident. My perception was they were so confident in their D.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Sure. You know, I mean, they were just on the same page. And when those three guys were defending, ball hawking the dribbler, it just allowed everyone else to be more aggressive, play the passing lanes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because they were going to have nights where their offense was going to be there, but they knew they could always rely on their defense to get them through those tough shooting nights.
Dude, and they had the ultimate closer.
Exactly. Exactly.
I mean, you got D and you got the ultimate closer. I mean, dude. You know, by that time, by those late 90s, I was a Jordan fan. Mm-hmm. I remember a friend of ours and I talking after Mike's flu game. And I was like, it had already been sliding this way for me. But I was like, dude, he's the best. And I remember a friend going, the other Laker fan going, dude, don't say that. Why did you say? I'm like, bro, he's the best. Come on, man. He's the best, you know? And it was kind of amazing but sad to be like, Mike's the best, you know? And I know, like, for this generation who grew up with Kobe, they love Kobe. I love Kobe as a Laker fan. And a lot of these players rank Kobe up there with Mike. But for me, if all honesty, like, Mike was just the stats don't lie, the results don't lie.
I mean, 6-0.
You see how he's
undefeated.
6-0, bro. I mean, his efficiency.
Yeah.
You know, he went Mike from being so he wasn't a threat to us in the 80s because we thought he was a ball hog. He was a highlight reel, and we thought he was a ball hog. But he wasn't. You know, and, I mean, he became, when he like you said, once it hit 91, once he had Phil Jackson, once Scotty was in there, once Ho Grant, once he had the guys in place and the pieces, and that's the one thing I recognize in the documentary, like when they talk about them getting rid of Oakley for Cartwright, those guys... Crumbs went out and put the guys around them that he needed. I mean, that's pretty
especially
amazing
for that offense too,
you know. I mean there's so many things. Again, Mike's the great, but like any great team and any great multiple time champion, so many things came together
for right
him. I mean, you know, the right people, the right coach, and obviously working with the front office and, you know, things like that. But I mean, you know, it's just it's unfortunate that, you know, I mean, hey, nothing lasts forever. You know, like, I mean, I'm talking about the relationship with, like, the front office, you know, Scotty getting mad. But I mean, to me, you know, I mean, I love Kobe, but if he's 1B in my eyes, the B is still really far. The number two, it's still really far from number one, you know? I mean, it's that, it's not... And people talk about LeBron and his stats. And I'm just like, the people who say that, like these younger guys, I get it. But we watched Jordan his whole career. And for us, for me, man,
It's tough.
Like, how are you going to argue? Right?
Like, for longevity, I mean, you got to give it up to LeBron. 17th year, still playing.
Absolutely, but sure.
It's just hard because, again, that was our childhood and, you know, teenage years and 20s. It was just amazing, right?
Well, you know, listening to GP today, it was a more physical game, 100%. Okay. I'm not saying there's a better game. I'm not, but I'm not denying, again, this is one thing I've grown up to understand. I feel like it's a little bit of maturity as a sports fan. I don't have to hate anyone else to like who right. I like, you know? You know, 10 years ago, I might have been like, I hate LeBron because of Kobe. But you know what? And sure, it helps he's in a Laker uniform now. But I recognize LeBron's greatness because I thought he was going to be a bust because not because of his skill, but because right. the pressure.
Who could live up to that hype?
Okay. Yes, who could live up to it? But he has more than done it. Okay. He's a champion. What he's done is amazing. But, I mean, I feel like it's simple. I just watch Mike's career. Look at this guy's career. I'm not talking about stats. I mean, just, you know, maybe to the people who play with LeBron only and who are growing up, I get it. But for me, Jordan is the best that I've ever seen. Yeah. I'm not saying, you know, I don't know. I didn't watch every single game of basketball I ever played. So I don't know. But Jordan is the best that I've ever watched play since 1980s. So that's all I can say. You know, anyone else, you can, you know, someone young. I get whatever you want to say about that. That's fine. Shannon Sharp wants to say, you know, LeBron's the best. That's fine. I mean, just, to me, that's just my opinion, and it's more than stats. So, yeah, you know, I'm enjoying watching this.
You go back to that efficiency you talked about. I think I read an article on The Ringer just showing, you know, these analytics and data of him and just the different spots on the floor where he could get to spots, and he was just so efficient. And then I read or saw something on ESPN or one of those sports sites where he made a certain amount of mid-range jumpers during a season. And the next nearest guy, I think, was Reggie Miller, and it was like 150 to 200 more shots made or attempted. It was just something crazy where it was just like he had mastered the mid-range game.
Oh, man. And you're – so this is the difference, right, for me, is when you see Mike in his younger years where – when he goes to the basket, it's like Larry shooting the jumpers. You're like, oh, he gonna make that. He's gonna find a way, right? When he starts going to the mid range, being the setup, it's the same thing. But now it's not dunks and slashes. It's when he pulls up, it's over. When he turns around, when he fades away, it's over. Like that's where you see. Like that fear or that expectation as a fan. Now, for people who didn't grow up with Mike, they see that in Kobe.
Right.
For people who didn't grow up with Mike, they see that thing in LeBron. You know what I mean? But for us who've seen them all play, maybe it's because I was young. It could be. I mean, it could be emotion. I don't know. But I can't. It's super hard to go against what Mike's doing. And the thing, though, that I love, check this out. This is the thing I love about Kobe. So, you know, on the other podcast, Knuckleheads, they did a whole, Quentin Richardson and Darius Miles, they did a whole, like, montage before The Last Dance of all the guys talking about Mike. And everybody's talking how they talk crap to Mike. Mike killed him. Blah, 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 blah. Mike killed me. Mike killed me. Like, every guy, top guy, to veteran to, like, younger guy, right, who played with Mike. The last one is Kobe. What does Kobe say? Oh, Mike knew we was going to go head-to-head. Mike knew that I was about it. Mike didn't share nothing with nobody, but he shared with me because he knew I was about that life, right? Oh. So every single guy talked about, now Mike killed Kobe, right? You know, when they first played each other, okay? And most of the time he killed Kobe, right? It is, but Kobe didn't talk about when he killed him. He talked about when they went head to head. And that was the difference in mentality. These dudes respected Mike so much. And like, who was it? B. Diddy, Barrett Davis was talking about how, like, when he shook Mike's hand when the first game, he was like, damn, Mike, what cologne you wearing? Like, he was enamored by him in like the whole first half about the cologne, you know? So where Kobe was more like, I'm gonna get him, you know, and still got run, but that was the difference in the mentality, and that's also the difference a way that he also Kobe wants to be perceived, you know. And so I thought that was interesting, you know. But I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to the rest of it. You know, this season was when we were still in college or finishing up college, and you know, so it brings back some memories. But I don't know. What are you looking forward to the rest of the way on this thing?
Mainly just behind the scenes stuff. You know, I'm hoping there's a little bit more footage of practices and game film of certain situations. But overall, I'm just excited just because it was a time where we were still young. And
we were still playing a little bit at that time too.
And I don't know. I'm just super excited.
Well, yeah. And it came at the right time during this whole quarantine thing. But yeah, man. I don't know. We're getting ready to wrap this thing up, but I really, this is supposed to be the Buhay N2L podcast, and you know, we talk about our values of challenging fear, pursuing growth, risking excellence, and you know, demonstrating passion. I mean, this is a perfect way to experience those values in other people who are excellent, who are pursuing excellence. And I mean, from coaching to front office to, you know, role players to stars. I mean, you know, if you guys are listening and you're listening, if you're not basketball fans, but you're N2L lifestyle fans, you know, watch this, you know, watch someone who's considered great, someone who Mike and I consider great, and try to look for these values that they're going for. You know, obviously, you know, when you pursue certain things, there's a cost, right? And I think we're going to see that. That's one thing I'm interested in seeing through this, is what the cost is. And I'm interested in the next episode where we got Dennis Rodman. So I don't know, man. Hey, Mike, you want to continue this and kind of do things on each of the episodes and like kind of review the episodes?
You just got me thinking. I think from now on, I'm actually going to take notes of what finds.
That's because you're the coach. Finds interesting, coach Mikey.
So that I can bring them up during our podcast.
All right, so we'll do this again next week, man. If you guys are listening, thanks for taking the time. You know, I guess what I would say is, you know, Mike and I, we don't know if anyone's going to listen to this, but I want to encourage you guys, if you try to do something creative or just express yourself, you know, we're in a time where you have time to try stuff, you know, and that's what we're doing with this podcast. The technology's out there, it's free, and, you know, go for it. You know, hey, and if you guys are on any of our social media, the BC Papa social media, N2L social media, Nothing to Lose Foundation, you know, send us some comments if you want to hear us talk about anything. And Buhay N2L, Nothing to Lose Lifestyle.
All right,
Mikey,
brother.
I'll talk to you next week, brother.
Peace.
Yeah, you too. Later.